Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Howard University made history during Black History Month. The men's swim and dive team won the Northeast Conference Championship. The women performed exceptionally well, placing fourth. And Howard University is the only HBCU with a swim and dive team. Well, joining me tonight to talk about this is head coach Nicholas Askew. He's answering our questions and yours. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Coach Askew, or Coach Nick, as they call you, welcome to the program. Congratulations.
Harold, thank you so much, man. It's a pleasure to be here. So excited to be on Howard University Radio. This is super, super cool. Glad to be talking about our team.
Let me just read off a couple of things to you.
Okay.
CNN.
Mm-hmm.
People Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
NBC.
Yep.
CBS.
Yep.
ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Illustrated, and I think there may have even been a Time magazine.
Might have been in there, too.
Might have been in there. The show was only an hour,
yeah.
So I don't have time to go through all of the media interview. Oh, I forgot, Essence Magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to forget that one.
BET.
Yeah, BET. Yeah, all of that. go ahead. Toot your own horn. What does that feel like?
You know, the feeling, I don't think it's truly consumed me yet. It comes in waves because we're still at work. We've still got business to attend to. The season's not over for us. This was another step in what we've been planning for, what we've been working towards all season long. And as much as we're taking account and we're celebrating, we know that there's still, you know, business to attend to come for nationals this upcoming week. This has been a season of destiny, as one, you know, periodical kind of named it. And I thought that was such an appropriate, you know, title for it, because the way things have lined up in this last 365 days has been nothing short of just God sent. You know, last year this time we had the big publication in Howard University Magazine where one of our swimmers was on the cover of the magazine, and it was a beautifully written article about the program and what we stand for, what we've been doing in the community, what we've been doing in the competition pool. There were some awards that were also given at the end of last year that were fantastic. And then start of this season, you know, we hosted the biggest, most talked about, most celebrated college swim meet in probably history, definitely as an HBCU, called the Battle at the Burr. And things that we did that week were on a whole nother level from what we do normally. And there are a lot of programs, Power Five programs, that have taken significant note and are trying to duplicate, you know, what we did and what we've been doing for so long. You know, and that's what really was the start of this season. And then we ran with that energy. We never stopped. The energy was just incredible from our fans, from our supporters. There was no swim meet that was not a standing room only. And, you know, we have to take a moment. I have to take a moment and really digest that. Our swim meets on the college of an on the campus of an HBCU were packed.
Mm-hmm.
When you have 65% of African Americans have limited or no swimming ability.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I was going to mention that. I mean, I swim.
Yeah.
My father, he swam. My mother doesn't. My sister doesn't. My daughter does. Mm-hmm. Because of that statistic that you just mentioned. So for a lot of Black people, swimming is not a thing.
Yeah, because there's the myth out there that Black people don't swim.
Right.
And it's just that. It's a myth. You know, there are significant challenges, historical as well as current challenges, that we face every single day that are different than, you know, other racial groups.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at them as challenges, and we're trying to be that representation, that beacon of you can swim. That's just a myth. Yes, we acknowledge there are challenges, but there are things you can do about it, mm-hmm. right? There are, we stand in front of you as a population that has been underserved, that you can see, you can swim, and you can excel at it.
But let's be clear, there is a vast difference between swimming and what the swim and dive team accomplished in Ohio. I mean, that, you know, that was the real deal. That wasn't just getting in the water and flopping around. This was the real deal. Talk to me about what the Northeast Conference is as it relates to swimming, because obviously this is where the big publicity, as I mentioned in the very beginning, really kind of popped off. All of a sudden, you know, your Northeast Conference champions, the women came in fourth place. It rarely gets bigger than that.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, it goes back to just the season build out. We had an individual kind of give you some behind the scenes story. Mm-hmm. So last year we had a swim meet, a home swim meet against Georgetown University. Phenomenal program, well coached by Coach Jack Levitt over there, the Hoyas. After the meet, he was like, "Coach, we want to swim you again next year, but we only want to swim here. The energy that is here is incredible. My kids swim faster here than some of them do even at conference." Which for us, you know, it's not so good. We don't necessarily want you to swim faster right. mm-hmm. when we're competing against you, but we love that feedback. So when we put together Battle at the Burr, they were the first people that we invited, and they were incredible partners in that entire journey. So Battle at the Burr started everything, and the behind the scenes is the author of the Sports Illustrated magazine article has a daughter on Georgetown swim team.
Oh, wow.
He took note of this incredible environment, and he wanted to know more. How was it created? What is going on behind that's making this such a phenomenal, you know, space and environment?
What's going on at the black school?
Exactly, right. Because it's not the norm. Mm-hmm. It's 180 degrees away from that traditional swim model that everyone probably has in their mind outside of the Olympics, of course. So he dug deeper. He came and spent time with us. He got the information, and he put together a phenomenal article in Sports Illustrated, which hit on February 1st on the newsstands. And that created the explosion. Now everybody was able to see what we do on a day-to-day basis, what's led to where we are. And then that was right before conference championship. So everything then led to, where are you going to win? Are you going to win conference championships? What do you think about this? What, you know, how are you guys going to do? And, you know, as a coach, I never like to get too far ahead. I want to take care of the moment. On paper, we looked good. But I also knew that doesn't mean a thing until after the last race is over. And because we have to execute all the way through the conference championship. And those men and those women, let me tell you, they swam lights out. It was lightning in the water.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I'm talking to head coach Nicholas Askew. He is the head coach of Howard University swim and dive team. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at, again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from Maryland. Tony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've just witnessed Coach Askew up at Howard, just the hard work and the dedication he put in, and I just want to commend him, tell him to continue with the great job he's doing with the young people up at Howard, and keep journeying on. And God bless.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate your comment. Tony makes a really interesting point because – for a lot of people in this realm, you know, they probably are like, Howard University who? Because, again, this is the only HBCU with a swim team. And while I'm sure that there are other people of color on swim teams at other schools, I can't imagine what it was like. I mean, they had to know you were coming. When I say you, I'm talking about the team.
Yeah.
And what was that like when the team, the men and these young men and women, walked in with, you know, competing against these other schools? And who was the competition at the Northeast Conference?
Yeah, so the Northeast Conference is comprised of about 9 other teams, 9 on the women's side and 4 on the men's side. So Long Island University, St. Francis of Brooklyn, Wagner University, mm-hmm. Stonehill, and a few others on that side. So the conference community is really cool. The coaches, you know, as much as we're super competitive, obviously once the meet starts and we're watching our swimmers and our divers compete against each other, they're super supportive. You know, they sent text messages and kudos and congratulations about the article and about everything was going on, and they're, you know, offering, you know, again, congratulations for everything leading up. But when we enter the building, you know, it's different. You know, because you're seeing a wave of 45 to 50 black and brown swimmers and divers. You don't see that anywhere else in the college swimming world. This is the only place that you're going to see it. And it's super special because, again, this is a space where we're underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to not only just show up, but to show out is different. So that means every swimmer and every diver on our program is a high quality swimmer or diver. And they knew that. They knew that coming in. Swimming it, you can't hide, you know, because it's all about times. So throughout the season, everyone's looking at each team's different times and kind of measuring up with, you know, the performance list and seeing how everybody's going to do. You know, so it wasn't like we were going in and people didn't know that we were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, nor did I go in thinking that we just had a clear, you know, path to the title, because there are some really good swimmers who were on each of those other conference teams that we had to outrace. Mm-hmm. We had to outswim. We had to outdive.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm talking to the head coach of Howard University's swim and dive team, Nicholas Askew. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Caroline, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Caroline. What's on your mind?
I want to say congratulations, and I am so excited to hear about that. I am a swimmer. I have been a swimmer for 50-plus years, and I have had that, oh, black people don't swim thing, and I always say, well, I'll take you to the pool and teach you anytime. So I'm a big fan. I just didn't know that you guys had it. I'm from a family, everybody except for me actually is a graduate of an HBCU. But I'd love to follow you guys. So how do we find out when you're having meets and how we can be there to cheer you on?
Well, Caroline, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate all of that support. You can follow us. Website is hubison.com. So you can find our schedule for coming up for the next season on that. You can follow us on Instagram at HU Swim and Dive, and you can follow us on Twitter at HU Swimming.
Okay, great. Great. So, congratulations again.
So wait a minute, Caroline, why didn't you go to an HBCU? What happened?
I knew that was coming.
Well, the long and the short of the story was I was the number 3 in my class at a high school in Cleveland, John F. Kennedy High School. And our guidance counselor kept saying, we need some top black students to go to white schools and let them know. And I said, I'll be the guinea pig. But, you know, Spelman, Morehouse, Howard, Hampton, Kentucky State are all represented.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know.
And my money goes to HBCU.
Okay. So you're still invited to the cookout.
Absolutely.
Okay.
She doesn't get to bring the potato salad.
Right, no potato salad.
Well, no, I don't make potato salad.
Where's Caroline? She's in the pool. Okay, Caroline, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to the head coach of the Howard University swim and dive team. They are just off of an historic win at the Northeast Conference Championship in Ohio, and they're just beginning to really show their stuff. If you have a comment or a question, again, lines are open at 202-319-7810. The other thing is that this this team shattered records. nearly two dozen records or a little more than that?
Harold, it's actually easier to say the records we didn't break.
Really?
To be honest with you, yes.
Okay.
So on the women's side, on both the women's and the men's side, each program has 20 swimming records that we have for every single year. And it's different events, different strokes, different lengths, right? On the women's side, there were only three events that we did not break the record. Mm. Just three. So we broke 17 of those school records this year, and 16 of them were accomplished at conference. On the men's side, we only missed one school record. And that's a record by Mike Houston from 1989 that we're still chasing in the 200-yard butterfly. That phenomenal record and fantastic team during that time. It's been standing for a long time. We're still chasing it. But I think we're getting closer and closer every year.
That is amazing. And, watching the coverage and first hearing about it. And, from this perspective, as an HBCU person myself, I know what we're capable of. I know what Howard is capable of. But do you feel that Howard pressure? Because again, for a lot of people who are hearing about this, Coach Askew, you and the members of this team, you are Howard to them. They know nothing else about the university.
Yeah. We live for it, right? Pressure is a privilege in my book. There's stress is a part of life, and we deal with that every single day, but we live for that because that's what makes the moment really real for us. And that's something that we lean into, and understanding that, that's going to bring the best out of each and every one of us. And then cumulatively as a team, it's going to bring out the best for the team. And we're happy to be able to, be that group that leans into that type of pressure.
I'm going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Tony from Virginia, Kevin from Virginia, also Martinique calling from D.C. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues in a few seconds at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. I'm sitting down with Howard University swim and dive team coach Nicholas Askew, the team making history last month at the Northeast Conference Championships in Ohio, shattering records. The men's swim and dive team placed first, the women's dive team placing fourth, and shattering records along the way. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tony, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I was just calling to say that I wanted to congratulate the team and also tell you guys how inspiring you are. I have three daughters who swim, and we live in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is predominantly white. And when we go to swim meets, we are literally the only black kids. My kids are the only black kids in the pool, the only black kids on their team. I have one who swims year-round. Again, she's the only black girl on her team. But it's so inspiring because when we go to these swim meets, we only see, white kids or, kids of other nationalities. But you only see a handful of black kids. So it's so inspiring for her to see that she can swim and it's not, she's not alone, she's not weird for swimming, but that it is something that the black community does do, and it encourages her to keep pushing and not give up, because sometimes she's like, I don't like to do it, I'm the only white kid or black kid, and it gets, a little discouraging for her. But to see this whole team of people who look like her and swimming and setting records, it's amazing. So I'm just really glad to see it, and I just wanted to share how inspiring it is for my kids, and I know a lot of other kids who are in that similar situation. So I just, again, want to say congratulations and thank you for inspiring a whole generation of kids who, get to see people who look like them swimming. No. And it just,
encourages them.
So, absolutely, absolutely. And thank you for saying that. You have no idea how much that means to us as a program, to me as a coach, because, you know, my team, we know that it's bigger than just shattering the records. Don't get me wrong. That's great, right? We're super competitive, and that's why we do what we do. But at the end of the day, it's about making a deeper impact in the community, and we're happy that you're seeing it, and we're out in front. That story of being the only child in the swimming environment of color is very common in our program. We have so many of our swimmers and divers who are saying that that's what they grew up in. And me, as a Howard alum coming from Kinston, North Carolina, that was my story. And, you know, I had a good experience growing up. You know, there were some things here and there, you know, that were outright racist or very troubling, you know, to me and to my family. But, you know, my experiences were overall good. But when I got to Howard and I was surrounded by this black excellence in a space that I had never seen it before, oh my gosh. So I can only imagine that now, you know, in this day and age and time where we're able to push our platform out there that much more, knowing that it's making an impact. Let me tell you, my heart is full right now. Thank you.
Yeah, you're no problem. I think I really do appreciate it. It is so great. And like you said, my kids, my mom, you know, she grew up in a time where black people didn't swim. So she always wanted us to learn. And then we put our kids in it, my husband and I, and it just, you know, they excelled. It was sort of just sort of a life skill and originally, but then it became a passion, especially for one of my daughters. And it's so, again, it's just really great because it helps her to see that she can keep going. She doesn't have to feel weird. She's not alone. This is a thing. It's not, it is a norm. I mean, it's not a norm, but it is, you know, it's a norm. It's becoming a norm. So she doesn't have to feel, you know, we still have it, unfortunately, right now in our area, but I know that this is, it's just helpful and it's inspiring. So, you know, as you're thanking me, I'm thanking you. So it's thank you.
Yes.
Tony, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kevin calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm just calling because I am a HU, Howard University graduate, and I'm just elated by the success of the team. I mean, Howard has produced Supreme Court Justice, Vice President of the United States, and now swim champions. This is what we do at Howard, and
yes, sir.
I'm without words. I'm so proud.
Thank you so much.
Kevin, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Martinique calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. First of all, I want to say congratulations to Nicholas and the Howard men's swim team for your accomplishments. And my question is, I went to North Carolina A&T, and during my time there, Aggie Pride, we had a swim team.
I knew that was coming.
Aggie Pride. And I noticed that a lot of the swim programs went away. And so with the spotlight that has been shown on your swim team, do you think there will be some type of reemergence at HBCUs for these, you know, for this particular sport?
That's such a great question.
It's a fantastic question, but I push that back on to you, Martinique, and all the other HBCU graduates, just same as I pushed it back on to Harold before this show. He is a Morgan State graduate who, at one time, all of these schools had competitive swim and dive programs. I remember in 2015, I believe it was, when North Carolina A&T had their very last season, and then the team disbanded. Yeah. I remember how much sadness there was amongst their team, amongst our team, and amongst the culture. And it was heartbreaking to watch that program and then for us to be the lone HBCU with a swimming and diving program. So I challenge every graduate of an HBCU and every supporter of an HBCU to send a letter to their administration, because at Howard, you know, I recruit every single day. There are so many young people that I have to turn away because we don't have the roster size. But they're good enough to compete at a Division I level. But unfortunately, you know, we only have but so much space. So I know that there's a talented pool of young boys and girls who desire an HBCU education that want to continue competitive swimming. And quite frankly, it creates a problem for me because then that's just another team I got to compete against in recruiting. But it's a good problem to have, because there shouldn't be a swimmer or diver of color who desires an HBCU experience that doesn't have a place to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great point. Martinique, thank you so much. Let's go to Jelen calling from Alabama. Jelen, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Nicholas, ask you, Jaron Regic here, man. I am so proud of you.
My guy, what's up, man? Thank you so much.
Man, everything is good. Look, I was at work one day, and one of my church members called, and she was in Paris. And she was like, what's going on with the Howard swim team? I have to get there. I have to bring my grandchild up there. They have to see this. Man, we're just so happy for you. I remember when I asked you years ago about your record that you held at Howard. And I think you told me somebody had beat it.
Yep.
But you weren't sad about that. You know, you just had this desire of the next generation doing better than the previous.
Yes, sir. And records were meant to be broken.
Going, so very proud of you.
No, thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for all the support over the years. For those of you all that don't know, Jaron was one of my very best friends in life. He was one of the very first persons I met freshman week, moving into Drew Hall, fifth floor. Shout out to Drew Hall. And have connected and stayed as brothers ever since.
What part of Alabama, Jaron?
I'm in Huntsville right now.
Yes, Rocket City. Absolutely.
You're well traveled.
I spent 2 years at the CBS affiliate in Huntsville, so WHNT. Right. So I know it well. Thank you so much for listening down there in North Alabama. I appreciate your time and your call.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Have a good one.
Talk to me about these teammates. I mean, these young people are coming from all over the place. I think there are at least three from Atlanta, and you got some from who are these champions?
You know, we stay true to the campus community. You know, I'm very adamant about making sure that our team is comprised of young men and women that resemble the campus community. Howard's very diverse. I mean, mm-hmm. we have a white population here. We have Hispanic. We have Asian. And of course, we have African Americans, and we have students from the African diaspora. So these young men and women that are on our team currently, we have a good contingent from the Caribbean. The Caribbean region is very well known for phenomenal scholars as well as phenomenal swimmers. When I was in undergrad here, I was the captain of the team was from Kingston, Jamaica. And then I had teammates from Trinidad and Tobago. I had teammates from St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Puerto Rico. And then, of course, here in the United States, from California, Texas, upstate New York, Atlanta, Florida, or Virginia, the DMV were all major areas that had phenomenal swimmers. And they all, you know, came here to swim at Howard. And there were so many great pipelines. You know, the PDR, which is a historical swimming organization in Philadelphia. Most people would recognize it from the movie Pride, mm-hmm. which was adapted from the life and achievements of Coach Hall of Fame, International Swimming Hall of Fame Coach Jim Ellis. I had teammates who were from that program, and now I'm recruiting from that program, from his program, individuals who swam with me, who their children came up and swam with that program, as well as in Atlanta, Georgia, Hall of Fame coach Tommy Jackson has been able to produce so many amazing swimmers that, again, that pipeline is very, very strong. And we've been able to establish our own pipelines in the recent years. And I think the biggest thing that is a part of that is we've proven that we can develop swimmers once they get here. Swimming is a tricky sport. There's no guarantee that you're going to get faster. So you have to be in the right environment with the right coaches and the right teammates in order to really, really continue to get faster. And we've been able to prove that we can do that year in and year out. And that builds such confidence amongst these coaches and these programs that when they send their athlete to us, they have a really good chance of getting better. And that's what it's truly all about.
When you've been here for how long now?
This is my ninth season as a head coach.
So talk to me about the evolution of developing a championship team. I mean, 9 years is two classes.
Yeah.
That's two you know, if you graduate in 4 years, you know, if you now do the 5-year program right. like I did, but, you know, no shade, no shame.
No.
I did get out.
Yes,
but,
you did.
But how, you know, how do you do that? Because I think a lot of people can identify with, you know, Division I football. This is a Division I swim team yeah. where your championship team last year, you know, those guys are going on to the pros.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how do you develop that over this time that you've been here?
Yeah. You know, the first thing we had to do is we had to develop the program. We had to, you know, from scratch and start, because the program was in really, really bad shape when I took over the program. Unfortunately, we were underperforming academically. We were underperforming as a swim and dive team. And, you know, that's not a good look, right? We're already, you know, an Olympic sport. You know, we're not swimming we're not football or basketball where we have certain advantages. We have to do well in the space that we are, especially academically. We weren't doing well. So that was the number one thing that we had to do first. We had to establish a new culture, and we had to establish new standards. And I'm very fortunate that when I took over the program, you know, so many people understood that, and they were willing to do the work. And I commend the university that they took a step in the right direction in terms of supporting the program. The program prior to me had not ever had a full-time head coach. So every coach that had come in was doing it as a part-time. Or if they did it, they also had other responsibilities outside of coaching, which means teaching class, so that way they can have a salary that they could live off of. So when they offered me the position, they offered for the very first time a full-time position. That was the number one sign that to me, or the very first sign to me, that, hey, they really want to get behind this. And then every step of the way, they continue to support the program. And I sat down with my coaching staff, and we put together this plan that, you know, we're only halfway through at this point of building this program out and seeing what it could accomplish and seeing what it could do. A lot of it had to do with changing the environment for our supporters.
What does that mean?
So the Burr, for those of you that haven't been there, is a really well-built facility. It's older, built in 1963. The architects, engineers did a great job of building it out, but the aesthetics weren't so good. It's very drab, very dreary. So we had to get some paint. Mm-hmm. We had to paint it up. We had to put some branding on it. We came through at a time. It was really good because this is when the university shifted the branding to the new logos and everything and the new trademarks. So we were able to put new branding up there because swimmers spend a lot of time, just like every other sport, any other discipline for that matter. We spent a lot of time in that space, and we had to make sure that that space was a place where everyone wanted to be and it felt good being there. You didn't want to go in and all of a sudden feel sad because mm-hmm. the walls are gray. So we brightened it up. We got some paint. We changed that. We created an environment for our home meets that now is unreal and unmatched. At every one of our meets now, standing room only, and a lot of that has to do with very early on, we brought an on-deck DJ for
it's a pep rally
meet.
In the stand.
Oh yes,
and I've seen that on TikTok. I've seen it on other social media platforms, and I think it speaks to not only the culture of Howard, but more broadly the culture of HBCUs. Mm-hmm. The spirit, the soul of HBCUs, and I can only imagine that, you know, if I am, it's one thing to be there and nobody's in the stands. It's another thing where everybody is in the stands and you are saying they're there to see me. They're there to see mm-hmm. us. And so I have to really perform.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, what's really cool about that is when the music is playing, the energy in the stands, you know, is really good. So that makes the swimmers want to swim faster and the divers dive better. And then what we noticed was when we do better at swimming and do better at diving, the energy goes up another notch, because swimming and diving as a pure sport, or swimming more especially as a pure sport, it's all about who touches the wall first. Anybody and everybody understands that. So we start winning more, the electricity just goes out the roof. you know, with our fans and our support group, because they understand that they may not know the name of the race, mm-hmm. right? They may not even know how many laps that person did, but they know that person touched the wall before the other. And, you know, that's such a pure, you know, environment, and people really, really love to see that. And they love seeing our team excel. So being able to, you know, develop those swimmers, put together a blueprint of a program that all of our swimmers can, you know, have some buy-in towards and also are able to excel at, especially at the end of the season, you know, where it's the most important for us to swim fast, because that's when the conference championships and that's when nationals are. You know, that build out was really, really important for us in those initial stages. And we knew that we couldn't do it overnight. Mm-hmm. We knew we couldn't do it in one season. So we also came up with, you know, part of our success plan was redefining success. Success for us early on was not winning conference championships, because we knew that that was farther down the road. Success for us was not winning gold medals, because we knew that was farther down the road. Success for us was getting personal bests, meaning the
breaking
swim that
your
you
own
had,
records.
Exactly,
yeah.
Breaking your personal record. And what we would do is we had a board at the conference championship, you know, 8 years ago, and we would say, every time you get a personal best, you get the marker and you put a tally mark. And our goal is to get 35 personal bests at conference championships. So we've redefined it. So people got behind that. They were excited to go and get the marker and write, you know, put a tally mark up there, because now they're showing that they are part of this. And it just grew from there to the point now where it's, okay, we're breaking conference records. That's where the tally mark goes now, right? Because breaking school records, yeah, that's a given. We're going to do that. Now we want to also break conference records as we do it and put tally marks down.
Let me go to Jason. Jason calling from Northwest DC. Jason, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jason, are you there? Jason, give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Talk to me about the women's team.
Oh, my gosh. Our women's team is they're on fire right now. They're the next. You know, we were in practice today with our national group, and, you know, we had to take a pause. We're a very celebratory team. We do certain things because we want to celebrate each other's successes. And sometimes I've encouraged the team, stop me, right? If I've missed something to celebrate, stop me. Let's do it. We had to celebrate the moment, and we pointed out this is Women History Month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Previously, we've only carried one or maybe even two of our women's team members to nationals, because that's the only group that qualified. This year we had six qualifiers. You can only take a group of 12, and we have six that have qualified. Two relay teams, and the rest are also in individual events. That's huge for us. Our team last year at conference placed seventh overall. This year they placed fourth. We were preseasoned to finish at fifth. Mm-hmm. And so we exceeded those expectations. We exceeded those, you know, those goals, and we placed fourth. And our women's group is pretty young, and they're hungry. They were happy with placing fourth, but similar to our men's team last year who placed second, who were happy with placing second, they weren't satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How are the team members doing? I mean, this is some heady stuff. It's been busy, you know, everywhere from, you know, you're sitting here, and I'm sure there's still, you know, fielding the press calls and calls from friends and parents who are saying, but are you studying? You know, how are they doing right now?
You know, earlier this week, man, we were tired. Mm-hmm. you know, again, we are the type of team that every team member watches every single race, you know, and some teams, you swim your race, you go find your space and you chill, like mm-hmm. you're disconnected. We're not that team. And I think that has a lot to do with our success, but it also backfires because there's a lot of emotional energy when you're watching someone else compete. You know, you've expended your energy in your race and then you're done. You go do your cool down, you come back, and now you're watching all the other races. And every race is super exciting because you know that person that's racing, you know their goals. Our team members, they know each other's goals. They know each other's splits. They know what they did this time last year. So they're invested. And as they're cheering and they're watching, I mean, that emotional energy expenditure is out the roof. So when you take that over 5 days man, we got back on Sunday, and let me tell you, I feel like they and myself, we all wanted to sleep for like 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Just sleep, knock out, not do anything other than get up and eat something and go right back to sleep. So they're finally now just starting to recover towards the end of this week and starting to get back to their, you know, their vibrant selves and their normal routines. The other side of that is, too, even between sessions, we had team study hall. Because our team, it's mandatory that you bring as part of your passport. You have to bring your books.
Yeah.
I mean, it was midterms week last week. And a lot of professors, they weren't holding back on the work. Just because, you know, oh, you're going to compete. Nope, you still got to do this work. And we're okay with that. We accept that. We're students first. So they had to go and they studied, they swam, they competed, they cheered, and they did everything on such a high level. And I'm super, super proud of them. I know we set really high standards for our team academically because we also know that that's what you came here for. You came to Howard University to get an education first, and we get the privilege and the honor to represent the university as athletes. And that's a high calling because that doesn't come easy. Mm-hmm. So they have done really, really well at that. They've been holding each other accountable. I'm really proud of the team because I'll go down to the pool just off hours, you know, middle of the day or something else, and there's no less than 3 or 4 people sitting around a table studying, you know, and helping each other, tutoring each other, peer mentorship and all that. And, you know, for me as a coach and our coaching staff, man, those are the things that really make it worth it.
National Invitational.
Yep.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Next week. What is that for the, you know, the uninitiated?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I like to, you know, parallel it with NCAA basketball, right? So everyone knows March Madness. They know NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They also know, most people know, the NIT. So
yes.
you have the tournament that's just under the big dance. And that's still the teams that are really high-level national contention teams. They just didn't make the cut. So the NIC, the National Invitational Championship, is basically that same parallel for us. There's the NCAA, which is the big dance, and you have to qualify for that. But then there's also the National Invitational Championships, which qualifying standards are just under the NCAA. And again, they're super fast and super difficult to make those cuts. So everyone that's going there is the top of the class, you know, type of swimmer. And you have representation from all the different conferences across the nation that are going to be there. So you have swimmers from, you know, this area like University of Virginia, Virginia Tech. You've got Pepperdine, Stanford, you know, Ohio State, Texas, you know, University of Florida. All the big, big schools, big swimming schools are all going to have representation there as well. So we're excited to, you know, to get suited up and to put our swimmers on the same national stage as these groups.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about this really critical piece. And as I said in the beginning, Howard has made history during Black history. And I think you touched on it, you know, a little bit, but talk a little bit more about what this means. As the only HBCU, you know, Howard is again leading the way in this. This win, the Northeastern Conference, and again with the Invitational, no matter how you do, this is as they say exceptional Blackness. How do you feel a load there, or how do you work through that when you lead this team and your magnificent coaches, which I've neglected to mention already?
Yeah, our coaching staff is unreal and unmatched. Every person on our coaching staff is an HBCU grad. Only one is not a Howard grad. She's a Southern grad. She's okay. She's good people.
Uh-huh.
But she played D1 softball, so she gets it. You know, the pressure or that weight, that load, it's real. It's absolutely real. But like I tell our team and I tell our coaching staff, we're built for this. You know, we don't shy away from it. We, you know, like I mentioned about the pressure side of things, we lean into it because we know that we weren't built to break. You know, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be trouble down the road. But we're not going to break. We're going to keep pushing forward no matter what, because what we're doing is bigger than any one of us, including myself, you know, as a head coach and as a director who's out in front. When we do well, I'm out in front. When we don't do so well,
I'm out in front.
thank goodness we're doing well. Right. But we're built for this. And we've had some troubled times. We've had difficulties and adversity that we've had to overcome. And we're glad to be able to be in position to show that you can make it. You know, that you can persevere through the types of adversity that can come your way. And no one's immune. You know, just because you do something well one day doesn't mean that you can't have a misstep or something like that the next day. And I think our program is a testament to that. I mean, prime example, we've had individuals who, you know, got to Howard, came from being a big dog on the porch, you know, from their high school, and got to Howard and totally underestimated the mollywop. Right. they straight got punched in the face first semester because they thought that, you know, was going to be a cakewalk, or, you know, they underestimated how difficult it could be. And they were put on academic probation, you know, not by the university, but by our standards, because our standards are even higher than the university standards, to make sure that if there's a misstep, you know, we can still control our comeback. And they, you know, we put them on a program, we put them on a plan, and we make sure that they understand that, hey, you have to get this right and you have to do better. And they've done it. And what's really cool about the Herald is they then tell that story to the next group.
Yeah.
Right? Because it can happen. It's a reality. But being able to listen to your peers, that, yo, hey, yeah, man, my freshman year, my first semester, I messed up. But I got back up, you know, and this is how you do it. And I love that.
And it's not just a swim team. My daughter found that out when she was at Howard is no joke. Academically.
Yeah.
And you know, she just had a swimming class. Oh, wow. Coach Nicholas Askew, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We look forward to only, you know, the best from you, your coaching staff, and this incredible swim team. All the luck.
Thank you, Harold. Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate talking about the team. This group is it's a special group, so thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, March 3rd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.